This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio. Welcome to the AJ Podcast. I'm your host, Emily Slofstra, web editor at Alternatives Journal. On Tuesday, August 20th, I had the pleasure of speaking with Rob Stewart, producer and director of the documentary Revolution, which was released on DVD the very day that we spoke. Stewart traveled the world over the last few years to find solutions to global environmental problems, out to prove that if people only knew about the problems, they'd be more likely to fix them. Some might argue with Stewart's hopeful approach, but the way Revolution balances its portrayal of solutions alongside all of the environmental doom and gloom means that this would definitely be a good film to introduce your family and friends to the problem of climate change. Listen in to learn what it's like to be in the ocean at night, how to manage your carbon footprint, and more tips for a sustainable lifestyle from Rob Stewart, director of Revolution. So I just watched it for the first time last night, and I was really glad that I finally got a chance to. This came at a good time. And I found that it struck a really good balance between sharing depressing facts about climate change and ocean acidification, while also remaining hopeful about ways that people are currently working to fix those problems. So how did you go about ensuring that you had a balance between hope and harsh truths?
It was really important for us the whole way to make sure people don't come away from this movie thinking all hope's lost or we're too far gone, because if that was the case, then we'll just burn and consume everything and fuck it, you know? So it was really important for us to portray it as a positive, that, you know, this is a task that humanity's going to rise to, and that it's going to call the best in humanity to the height of their potential, and everybody gets to be a hero for ecosystems and species in the future. And, you know, in a time when humanity needs meaning, you know, we've got an issue that'll bring down borders and cultures and genders and make everyone work together to figure out the problem. So I really do think it's going to be amazing. I'm hugely optimistic about what the future holds for us and for our evolution, and I wanted the movie to reflect that.
Yeah, definitely. Did you ever find that you were leaning towards being too hopeful? Because I watched the movie last night with someone who was like, oh, that was a really good movie. I'm glad that people are doing things about the problem, but she didn't really want to make changes herself. So do you ever find that, like, you lean towards being too hopeful and then people don't see the seriousness of the problems?
No.
No? Well, that's good that you're able to find that balance quite easily.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to be affected by it or you're not.
Right.
You know? And if you're not, you know, there's some things maybe in the way of you letting it hit you, whether it's, you know, packaged in a nice package or not.
Right. So do you see a point of, like, working on people like that, or is it best to just move on and find someone else who is more likely to be inspired?
I think there's definitely groups of people that you might not want to try to convince. You know, focus your energy on the people that are going to be convinced. And the people that are more difficult to convince will come along, you know, as sheep when everybody else does.
Right. So speaking of convincing people, So Revolution showed a lot of, like, the general public and some politicians, but mostly, like, general public who are starting to make changes and or, like, scientists, that kind of thing. But what do we do about politicians, especially in Canada? Like, how do we convince them? Do you think they'll just follow along as sheep eventually, or is there a hope in convincing Canadian politicians that, say, tar sands are a problem?
The politicians are our civil servants, not our employers, not our lords. They'll do what we tell them to do. We're just not telling them to do anything right now. So I think the most important thing is educating the public. Once the public's educated, then their morals will guide them, and they'll be able to, you know, get a grip on the governments, corporations, and individual actions that are destroying the world we depend on for survival. But I think to go and try to, you know, start pushing the politicians right now is going to face the same kind of resistance that we've been seeing confront the environmental movement the whole time, and the same kind of resistance that's quashed many of these projects. So I think, you know, any change that's been large enough has necessitated a significant portion of the population to push it, and this is going to be the same kind of thing.
Right. So since Revolution was released, What inspiring actions have you seen as a result of it?
I've seen lots of actions from kids. One kid movement led by kids at a school in Oakville called Deercroft got a bus full of kids from a number of schools around Toronto and booked out a movie theater for the day in Ottawa so that any politician that wanted to see Revolution could come and see it for free.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, and kids are starting groups, and I'm getting letters about kids saying, you know, they're gonna, this is what they're gonna do for their lives. It's super inspiring.
That's great. Have you seen anything from the older generation, like baby boomers and upwards?
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of people that are responding to it. I think we're gonna see the most amount of push and the most amount of public engagement when the movie comes out on DVD. So I'm looking forward to seeing what happens now.
So our upcoming magazine theme is night. So I was paying really close attention to that amazing footage you had at night in the coral reef.
Mm-hmm.
So what qualities make the ocean different at night versus day?
Nighttime's an entirely different kind of scenario than during the day. Every night, the largest migration on Earth brings creatures from the dark depths of the ocean up into shallow waters to feed on the productivity of the day, you know, to feed on the plants and the animals that were out producing and consuming during the day. So there's an enormous amount of life that comes up from, you know, thousands of meters. So it's a radically different world. These are creatures that have missed major extinctions because they were deep enough in the oceans, creatures that have huge eyes or sensory systems we know little about. It's actually quite an amazing sight to see.
Wow. And so for you personally being in the ocean at night, does that feel different too? Like, it looks like it would be scarier or something. Is that the case?
It's not scary. It's actually really peaceful because you can only see what's in your life. It's like everything else is turned off. It's sort of like, you know, watching a screen that you get to turn on and point yourself. But I mean, I'm sure for the first few times, people going night diving might feel a little unnerved about it, but it's actually quite peaceful.
When's the first time you went night diving?
I think I was 13.
Right, so you've had a lot of time to get used to it then, eh?
Yeah, but I taught scuba diving and took people on night dives, and, you know, they get it pretty quick.
Yeah. Another theme that we have coming up is called Heroes. So we're looking at great Canadian game changers and different Canadian heroes for the environmental movement. So do you have an environmental hero? And if so, who might that be?
I would say David Suzuki and Paul Watson would be the closest thing to environmental heroes. David Suzuki, because he's been pushing this without giving up for so long. Mm-hmm. And Paul Watson, because he doesn't care what the world, the community, or the law says about what he's done. He just does it.
Right. And you've met Paul Watson, right?
Paul Watson was in Sharkwater.
Right. And what about David Suzuki? Have you had a chance to meet him and chat with him at all?
Yes, he's a supporter of Revolution. We did the breakfast morning shows and stuff together.
That must be pretty exciting to meet your environmental heroes.
Yeah.
So another thing that I liked in the film was that you discovered how big your carbon footprint is, particularly from all the flying. So have you done anything since then to reduce your footprint since that discovery?
Yeah, I fly as little as possible. I ride bicycles as much as possible and walk and drive as little as possible, buy as little stuff as possible, buy stuff that's going to be used forever, not thrown out, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, all the things that you advise people to do in your film, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And I also stopped flying shortly after returning home from COP15, but I'm sure many young activists struggle with wanting to be at the center of climate action while also trying to keep their carbon footprint low. Do you have advice on balancing that?
Yeah. If you're going to fly, make sure you offset that in some way by planting the equivalent carbon in trees or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's a moral kind of balancing act that I think every activist has to play in a way of how much good can they do by burning that carbon.
Right.
And it's, you know, only up to them to decide, and I don't think people should let others and their judgments of them affect that. If they think they can do a lot more good than the carbon they burn to get there, then they should do it. But if they can't, there's a ton they can do at home.
Right. That's a really good way to look at it. So one other question. Do you have an anthem that keeps you going, like a song or something like that?
Good question. I am constantly listening and devouring music. So it's not like there's one anthem, but, you know, I'm sure at least once a week I'll stumble upon one that I really like and play it a lot, and I'll move on to something else.
Anything you're listening to right now in particular?
Yeah, let me pull up Hype Machine. Do you know Hype Machine?
No, I don't.
Hype Machine is it's a website and an app that sorts blogs based on their popularity and allows you to create a playlist.
Cool.
So one is Slow, S-L-O-U-G-H, by Toro y Moi. And another one is Claire de Lune by Flight Facilities.
All right, haven't heard of those, but I'll have to look them up then.
Yeah, check them out. They're pretty great.
Yeah. Do you have any other tips for environmental studies students that are looking to make change, say, like by making films or pursuing other passions?
Yeah, I think they should take what they're best at and what they love the most and slam them together into a life of meaning that's radically different than the lives of those that have come before us. You know, the path that's sold to us, the path that's taught to us of how we're going to live our lives and what lives are going to look like has gotten us into this mess. So it's kind of our duty to try to do something different. You know, invent a new culture, invent a new way of living while you're pursuing your career and your path.
Right. And did you study filmmaking at all, or did you just jump into it?
Just jumped into it.
So that might be a way that some people can get into things. It doesn't always take school to get you to follow your passions.
Yeah, there's a book on everything.
Yeah.
If you want. I'm sure there's a book on ruling the world, there's a book on making movies, there's books on all that sort of stuff, and there's lots of people that will help you, there's blogs and guides, and yeah, and I think just by jumping in and getting in over your head, trying to do something cool, that first step becomes a significant force of momentum to make you create something cool. You know, because I jumped in to make Sharp Water and got so massively into debt making it, I had to create a cool movie to get out of debt. So it's really important for people to take the first steps.
Awesome. Well, we'll get that message out there. Anything else you want people to know about Revolution now that it's on DVD?
I think the positive side of it's really important. That this is, you know, this is exactly what humanity needs right now. And it's going to be awesome to see us usher in a world that works and create a world that's beautiful for us and all species. And, you know, it's part of our job to help kind of imagine what that world's going to look like.
And I'm just at the end of my questions, but can you just give a little recap of what people can do to try and stay hopeful and also to make a difference in the world?
Yeah, get educated and educate your friends and family. Not just on the problems, but on solutions and on who's trying to do this. Without education, we can't engage our morals or our humanity to hold each other, our governments, and our corporations accountable. To watch your consumption. What are you buying? What are you consuming? Where is it made? Who made it? How did it travel to get to you? And what do you have to dispose of to consume it? And just consume less of everything, from drinks to, you know, to food to cars to all that sort of stuff. And to, really importantly, try to imagine a brighter future, because we don't have solutions to the scale of the problems yet. It's going to take invention. Someone's going to have to come up with radical ideas that will change the world and will make this place amazing. So to, you know, unleash your creativity to think outside of the box and try to find solutions is hugely important. And to, you know, to get involved, to contribute to a conservation group or a conservation community with not just your money but your talents, by, you know, getting involved, that creates more momentum and shows you that there's millions of people around the world that are working for good and making the world a better place, and they're the coolest people in the world and having the most fun and the most meaningful lives doing it. So getting involved is a big part.
Awesome. It's a really good list. And just going back to education for a minute, our website, alternativesjournal.ca, has a lot of great stuff on a variety of topics on environmental sphere. Do you have any other resources that you like to use to educate people or to help people educate their friends and family about environmental issues?
Yeah, our website, The Revolution Movie, is a pretty good resource. It's just being rebuilt, and it should launch in about a month. But it has more movies, like another couple hours of video content, all the major issues threatening humanity, textbooks worth of information and study guides, and lecture series for universities and high schools and educators. We've tried to sort of amass it all in one place.
Wow, that sounds awesome. I look forward to checking that out.
Yeah, please do.
All right, well, that's all my questions today. And good luck with the DVD release as well.
Appreciate it. Thanks for helping us tell the story.
Thanks for listening to the AJ Podcast. That was an interview with Rob Stewart, director of Revolution, the documentary that was released on DVD this week. Learn more at alternativesjournal.ca/podcasts or visit therevolutionmovie.com. Music in this podcast today was provided by Richard Garvey and Polly Edwards and is the song Cedar Hill. Be sure to tune into the next AJ Podcast, in which Darren Kaster of the Green Majority interviews Rob Thacker. Thacker wrote two pieces for the Night issue. The first one was on ALMA, the enormous telescope, and in the second, he waxes poetic about night.